May we be helped to commence our morning worship by singing together hymn 723, hymn 723, tune Lewisham, 678. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus, ready, stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Hymn 723, tune Lewisham 678.
Oh.
Let us read together from God's holy word, from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14. That time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him, and put him in prison, for Herodias' sake, his brother, Philip's wife. For John said unto him, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger." And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages, and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. May we be helped to pray. Almighty Jehovah, do we pray thee, please help us to come in and through thyself, dear Lord Jesus, pleading thy spilt blood. leading that way, made for sinners. Oh, may we come just as we are. For, dear Lord, our righteousness is not of ourselves. We have nothing worthy except of condemnation, but unto those that are in thee, we know therefore there is no condemnation. And oh dear Lord, we plead this, and we plead that we might come just as we are. And dear Lord, to lay before thee, Lord, we have need of thy work to be both begun and carried on in our hearts, Lord. We have need of thy Holy Spirit's outpouring, need of thy Holy Spirit's moving amongst us, dear Lord. Thy teaching, the Holy Spirit to take thy word and to seal it home to some sinner's hearts. Oh dear Lord, come, take thy word and apply it, Lord, we pray. Oh dear Lord, except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain. They build it. Lord, we are utterly dependent, totally dependent on thee, Lord, to work. We cannot put our hand to it and would not. We pray to be kept from putting our hand to it, Lord, but we look for thy work to appear, and we plead for thy work to appear. Oh Lord, may we truly be found waiting upon thee for thy work to appear, Lord. Oh, in the prayer meeting, Lord, we've heard that word concerning prayer being so vital, an essential part of real religion. We pray to be given a true spirit of prayer, Lord, that we might be found inquiring of thee to do these things for us, Lord. And dear Lord, we bring before thee great things. We bring before thee, dear Lord, oh Lord, that plea say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. The salvation of sinners, Lord. O Lord, thy great work. O make it manifest here, Lord, in our souls. And dear Lord, not only in the souls of those found within the four walls, but Lord, there's those souls at home, there's those souls round and about, there's those souls, Lord, of those that have turned their backs on thee. Lord, there's those prodigals out there, dear Lord, and none can rove beyond the limits of thy love. Oh dear Lord, please work. Thou knowest how to bring each soul to prayer. Lord, in love and mercy, bring each one to pray in sincerity and in truth unto thee, and do thou work, Lord, and let thy work appear unto thy waiting servants. Lord, come and bless us freely. And dear Lord, may that word brought this day, be brought under thy Holy Spirit's guidance, and Lord, may be under thy direction, and may it truly be a word, Lord, that has been as bread cast upon the waters, taken again after many days. Lord, bless the word, we pray. Bless thy word. And dear Lord, thou knowest the need of each one. Needs, Lord, for their never dying souls. Needs for providence, the things of this life. I cry that thou wouldest make a way where there seems to be no way. I cry to help one in the way that thou hast appointed for us. Lord, I cry. Oh Lord, when thou seest fit to lay affliction upon one, that a humble acknowledgement that thou dost not afflict willingly. Oh dear Lord, may we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and seek no will but thine. And so may we truly pray, thy will be done in all these things that we have mentioned. Thy will be done in our lives, Lord. Thy will be done in this church and people here. Oh, dear Lord, and thou knowest thy will is perfect. We plead it might be in accordance with thy will to build us up, but thou knowest, Lord. And, oh, Lord, thou knowest, as we see the church is diminished, Lord. Oh, Lord, we have to acknowledge the sin of the land. And the sin of the land, and we are part of it, Lord. Oh, help us to rightly acknowledge our sins before thee, to confess them. May we be given, dear Lord, godly repentance for our sins. May we truly come, Lord, not with a false humility, not, dear Lord, with a false word of confession, Lord, but may we be given a heart to truly repent over every sin. Lord, in that desire, Lord, show me and help me to repent of each sin. Lord, make me what thou wouldest have me to be. Draw me close to thee, Lord. Lord, may we be willing to live a godly life. Thou knowest flesh dislikes the way. Flesh would have its fill of the things of this life. But, oh, dear Lord, to have that desire after thee, to in mercy give it us, Lord, and give us, Lord, that love after thee, that love toward thee. We love thee because thou hast first loved us. Lord, cause thy love to be poured out, that our souls might burn within us and love thee in return. And then, dear Lord, our souls will be all taken up with thee and willing to run in thy ways. Oh Lord, do these great things for us, we pray. And dear Lord, do help us, we pray thee, to bring before thee our land and nation. Lord, pleading with thee. Lord, turn us again, if it could please thee, Lord. Oh, that there might yet be those days of prosperity in the churches here. Lord, that there might yet be a walking tenderly in the fear of the Lord. Oh Lord, what great changes will be required. And thou knowest how such changes would be brought about, for Lord, if it is thy will. Oh dear Lord, there will be judgment and mercy. And oh Lord, thou knowest we fear and tremble. Yet, dear Lord, we trust in our God. Lord, our trust may be stayed on thee. For, dear Lord, thou knowest perfectly how to bring these things about. And so we commit them all into thy almighty hand. And dear Lord, be with each one where they are, we pray thee. Leave none out, Lord, but may this be a time of feeding upon thy word, whether present or listening online, thou knowest. And those, Lord, not present and not listening online and not desiring to be present, going their own way in the world, Lord, they are still within thy reach, Lord. They are still within thy almighty power. And in love and in mercy we plead, turn them heavenward, turn them back. So, Lord, do not leave one out, we pray, but may each soul be brought to truly praise thee, and so get the honour and glory to thy great and holy name, we pray, and may we thus be able to pray these great mercies for thy holy name's sake. Lord Jesus, for thy precious name's sake, we ask. And we ask now thy help to continue and thy presence to be with us, to bless souls. Dear Lord Jesus, amen. The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Graham Cottenham is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Bernard Burgess next Lord's Day. And this afternoon we have an afternoon service instead of an evening service this day. And Mr. Matthew Hyde is engaged to preach with the service to commence at 2:30 p.m. And today is the day for our monthly collection. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn 727, hymn 727. To the tune Strasbourg 244, hymn 727, tune 244. Oh, that I knew the secret place where I might find my God. I'd spread my wants before his face and pour my woes abroad. He knows what arguments I'd take and wrestle with my God, to wrestle with my God. I'd plead for his own mercy's sake and for my Saviour's blood. But stay my soul, to hope give place. He'll banish every fear. He calls thee to his throne of grace, to spread thy sorrows there. Hymn 727, tune Strasbourg 244. Mr. Clement Wood at Tamworth Road, Croydon, 28th July 1991. His text you will find in a portion of scripture that we read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. Verse 12 and the last clause. Matthew 14, verse 12 and the last clause. And went and told Jesus. And went and told Jesus. Simple. Precious, encouraging words. Happy soul that walks in this path. How sad is the life of those who are strangers to prayer, to the throne of grace, to seeking the Saviour. What a sacred privilege it is for the poor sinners of earth to come to Jesus. Whilst the privilege is so great, may we ever remember who Jesus is, the eternal Son of God, the all-glorious One, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose eyes are as a flame of fire, who knows all that concerns us. So, may this ever be a preservative from the thoughtless, careless approach, but may we come always with reverence and godly fear. Went and told Jesus. So, in our coming, just like the widow woman of whom Jesus speaks, her continual coming in Luke 18, may we ever remember our sinnership, the holiness and majesty of our Saviour. So it is to Jesus, to one who has walked this earth, we come. We come to one that knows all that we are passing through. Not only by his omniscient knowledge of all things, but he has walked this earth. He knows about sore temptations. He knows what it is to be reproached. He knows much of sorrows, grief, and pain. And amazing when we think of it, weakness of body, weariness, hunger, thirst, desertion, and loneliness. We have such a friend in Jesus Christ who knows all that you and I are called to pass through. Jesus, the Omnipotent One, what an encouragement this is. For, beloved, you may from time to time, and I'm sure you will, have matters far too hard for you to handle. Things so perplexing, burdens so heavy, or that which you cannot understand. But here is our Jesus, mighty, almighty, all power is given unto me, in heaven and in earth. So, be the matter what it may, providential or spiritual, great or small, here is a throne of grace. Here is this dear Saviour. that is able and willing to save and to help. Then, as we consider these words, we may come to him at all times. In all places, with all things, there is no barrier. What a mercy this is, to take everything to the Lord in prayer, and went and told Jesus. This then is personal. At times it is collective, but personal. Oh friend, are you destitute of personal prayer? How much have you had to take to Jesus today? Have you? And I speak with great care, had to talk to him. Now when I say that, remember what I said right at the beginning, with reverence. It will be of all humility, and yet this wonderful favour, that you, poor sinner, may speak and come to Jesus and pour out all that is upon your spirit, in your heart, spiritual or providential. Oh, my young friends, what do you know of prayer? My dear children, do you know anything about prayer? Perhaps you can say those words, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child, pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. Fain I would to thee be brought, gracious God, forbid it not. In the kingdom of thy grace, give a little child a place. Oh, that the Lord may direct your heart in prayer to the Saviour. And if you know something by the Spirit's teaching of the burden of your sin, oh then how precious Jesus will be in seeking him. How wonderful it is that there is a Saviour. How wonderful that there is salvation. How wonderful the mercy still flows from heaven to poor sinners. So it is personal. But we may also view this collectively. How strengthening is united prayer. It is a manifestation of love when there is affliction, bereavement, sorrow, trial, persecution, particular need amongst God's dear children, and went and told Jesus. How many times within these walls or in our schoolroom has united prayer gone up to heaven as those we love for Christ's sake have been brought into deep need, sorrow, loneliness and affliction. Unitedly we have gone and told Jesus, and in doing so, not always has there been any immediate relief. Not always has there been any healing. Death sometimes has followed. But what support there has been? What strength has been granted? What help has been afforded? Oh, the sweet privilege of taking everything to Jesus in prayer. Again, while we may and do bring our providential need, what is the greatest need of all? They went and told Jesus. Have you had to tell Jesus something today? Or in the week that has passed? Yea, many, many times since the Lord began that work of grace in your heart, you have had to tell him what a sinner you are, how you need salvation, how you need that precious blood, how you need that pardoning voice to speak, to bring you that word of peace and of pardon. Now this going and telling Jesus about our sin, we need to be very careful here, because there are many that will freely say they have sinned, acknowledge it, but there is no going to Jesus with sorrow for that sin, no going to Jesus for pardon of that sin. Why? Because with this going to Jesus, there is no repentance. So they went and told Jesus. Come into the Saviour with that heavy burden that you cannot throw off. You cannot wash away the defilement. You cannot bring good works or remove the guilt. But come in, as the hymn says, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Can there be mercy for me, says the poor coming sinner, my sins are so great, what do you mean? Surely I am not as bad as the sins of others. Surely the stain is not so deep, you say. You do not know what a wretched, filthy, vile sinner I am. It is a great mercy to hear you talk like that, friend. So many will try and make an excuse and cover themselves with fig leaf righteousness. The Word of God, this glorious, blessed gospel, declares that the vilest, the poorest, the weakest, the filthiest, the most unworthy, as they come to Jesus, are not cast away. This man receiveth sinners. So come, poor sinner. And in the words of that other hymn, come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Come in as the one of which we read this morning, that man full of leprosy. You cannot find a good spot in yourself, can you? By that I mean just this, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. If ever, Lord, there is a sinner needing saving, it is this poor sinner. Do you know something of it? Or do you treat sin lightly? Do you brush it off? Or is it an increasing concern, a heavier burden, and yet with it, as you tell Jesus, hope rises up in your heart that Jesus died for sinners, that blood shed on the cross cleanseth from all sin, and therefore, if free grace, why not for me? Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The dear woman that came with repentance and love and sorrow for sin to Jesus, she received in his time the word of pardon, and so will you. The time of love will come when we shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me, keep going, keep telling Jesus what a sinner you are, and keep pleading that precious blood. Keep looking to the Saviour, clinging to Christ, pleading all that he has done. And they went and told Jesus, tell him of your temptations also. Does Satan tempt you to give up and call no more on Jesus' name? Has Satan said, "'Tis not any good you praying. "'Tis no good you coming. "'You are not one of the elect. "'You are not in the purposes of salvation. "'Friend, listen not to the dreadful temptations of the devil. "'Rather, take those temptations, those assaults of the evil one, "'take them to Jesus. "'Ask Jesus to help you.' And Jesus to strengthen you and to succour you in that temptation. And remember this, that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know, friends, sometimes old saints are sorely tempted. The devil does not give up. Where there is the mark of the blood, where there is a cry for mercy, where there is the precious faith of Jesus Christ, the devil will be attacking, tempting, opposing, accusing, condemning, and sometimes trying to lull us into false security. Oh friend, we do need grace to watch and pray, and pray, Lord, let not the evil one fetter me, nor bind me with his bonds. Set me free. Loosen me from these temptations. The Lord does loosen his people from these dreadful temptations, much by his own word. I have named before how tempted I was by the devil about constantly praying for mercy. They were dreadful temptations, but I went and told Jesus. And it came like this. The mercy of the Lord, it endureth forever. It is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. I had such a sense and sight of that mercy. Mercy that comes for one that is miserable. Miserable because of one's sins. And that mercy comes. And it suits one well. To see those streams of mercy flowing from the cross, from the precious blood of Christ, and to see the fullness of it, that it flows right down to the vilest of the vile. Devil, flee. Devil, go away. Devil, you're defeated. I believe that there are times when we know a little by His grace, and it's only by His grace, of overcoming the evil one, causing him to flee. And went and told Jesus. There are times when God's children are not always on the mount, not always singing the songs of Zion. Sometimes the harps are hung upon the willows. Sometimes, poor soul, you are so cast down, so depressed. Everything seems too much for you to bear. The way is too hard, as you feel, and unbelief seems to gain the upper hand. Went and told Jesus. Just like the dear psalmist, speaking first to himself, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Have you no God? Has he not helped you hitherto? Will he not appear for you? Will he forsake you now? Will you sink forever? Will you die in the dark? Never can it be. Hope thou in God. Go to the Lord Jesus." I'm sure this friend, however low a child of God may be, however cast down and depressed, and in my ministerial experience I have visited many people, God's servants among them in mental affliction and darkness of soul, and friend, it is a path that makes me tremble. I nevertheless know this, that underneath are the everlasting arms. You will never sink beneath them. But I believe the Lord brings us down. And you know, it is profitable to be brought down. It is painful. But it is very easy when the sun shines and when the way is a little more comfortable to say, "Yes, I'm sure that God is our eternal refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms." But the Lord is going to make you prove it. The Lord is going to bring you into the sweet experience of it. It will bring you right down sometimes. But go and tell Jesus how you're cast down, how you are at times afraid. "O Lord, where is my faith? O Lord, I am ashamed of myself. O my lack of faith and trust in Thee. Thou who hast helped me hitherto. Thou who hast heard my prayers. Thou who hast kept me to this moment of time. And yet, Lord, I am still afraid." We read of the disciples in the Gospel that as they entered into the cloud, although they were with Jesus, they were nevertheless afraid and went and told Jesus. The dear Lord Jesus comes with his "fear not." How he speaks that word of comfort and encouragement. How he draws near to you and supports and strengthens that faith and confirms that love of the Saviour as he speaks that tender rebuke, "Wherefore didst thou doubt, O thou little faith?" Went and told Jesus. Perhaps you've had to tell him this morning that along with the burden of your sin you have other burdens also, burdens of all shapes. Instead of rolling them off, instead of life getting a little easier, instead of the path becoming a little more plain, the burden's getting heavier. With the heaviness of the burden, so often we feel to be insufficient for it. Burdens. I do not know the burden that you carry. It may be, and I hope to touch on this again in a moment, carrying someone else to Jesus in prayer. It may be some burden that weighs you down, but you cannot tell anybody about it. This is the mercy, friend. I believe this, that with our dearest, and we do have dear ones, dear children, that we love so dearly, walk so freely with them and enjoy sweet communion with them, but you know, there are things we cannot unfold to others, but you can tell Jesus. Perhaps these burdens that you are carrying seem to be overwhelming. But what does Jesus say? Now, if you are not burdened, if you are not labouring, it will not mean very much to you. But if you know your burden is of sin and many other burdens, then you'll hear these words as sweetly attractive. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You tell the Lord, under these burdens, I cannot find rest, Lord. I'm so restless, so disturbed in my mind. I'm so tossicated, as dear Suki Harley used to say. Went and told Jesus. Tell him all, and seek to pray with submission to his will. And this is not easy. It is agonizing at times, it is. Submission to the will of God. Lord, it may please thee to add to the burden. Then keep me from rebellion. Keep me from murmuring, but do bear me up. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Went and told Jesus. Another thing that I have to tell him so often, and I do not say this with mock humility. I feel to be such a failure, and to come so short of the standard set up in the Word of God. O Lord, I fail, I falter, but turn now and look upon me, that I too with Peter may go out and weep bitterly. Do strengthen, do grant courage, do help me to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful the promised. And went and told Jesus. I was very struck in brief meditation on this word. You may say, why brief meditation? The disciples toiled all night and caught nothing. And last night in my study, it was after midnight and there was nothing, no text. I knew our dear friend Mrs. Bartholomew had been sent to hospital, and the phone rang just after midnight. I was right by it. It was quite right that our friends should phone me to warn me that I might be needed. But mercifully I was not. As a pastor, I thought, here is another dear soul that needs prayer. And these words came so sweetly to my mind, and went and told Jesus. That is how I have come to the text. So I have not had much meditation upon it, but it is a wonderful word. At such times you will soon know how much you love a person. When I speak of love, I'm speaking of that in a sober and right way. How my heart ached when I heard of the weakness of this dear afflicted friend. It is something that encourages us, and I find we're not insensitive to the afflictions of others, that there is love in our hearts, and that we do know that it is what it is to take our dear ones to Jesus in prayer. Went and told Jesus. Carrying someone dear to Jesus in prayer. In the Gospel of Mark, there are instances of those that went to Jesus with others. There was Simon's wife's mother that we read of, and anon immediately they went to tell him that she was sick, and Jesus went to her and lifted her up. And again the sick man of the palsy, carried by four others, they took him to Jesus. Then what about dear Jairus, with his daughter sick near unto death, and then she's dead? But he had gone and told Jesus. And what about the woman from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, coming about her daughter grievously vexed with the devil? She went and told Jesus. It did not seem, and I say this with care, that Jesus was going to bless her, or help her, or take any notice of her. Indeed, any word he said seemed to shut her out and bar the way. No. He was drawing out that faith of that dear woman. Then later they bring a blind man unto him. And they besought him to touch him. And he took him out, and you remember how he spat on his eyes and laid his hands on him and said, "Can you see anything?" And how he saw men as trees walking. No lack of power in Jesus Christ, but teaching him that sometimes his answers to prayer may be step by step. Gradual. Then again, a little later on, we read of that dumb spirit where the father brought his child to the disciples. They could do nothing. There was the devil doing his worst at the very feet of Jesus. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He went and told Jesus. You remember how that dear man said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. So much so that he left him as though he were dead at the feet of Christ. But Jesus, beautiful words, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he arose, went and told Jesus. Masters have much to tell Jesus, especially as we watch the flock. Is this one drifting away? Is this one going into the world? Is this one turning aside? We have to tell Jesus. Not only the pastor, but there are others who watch for souls. Went and told Jesus. Is there something else that you've gone and told Jesus? This is lovely. Oh, it did my soul good in my meditation this morning. for I have to go and tell him I love him. I love him. I have to tell him how cold my love is. I have to tell him how weak it is, how poor it is. But I do tell him I love him, and tell him I believe he loved me first, because otherwise I would never have loved him. And I want to love him more and more. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice, and all his will esteem. O friend, do you love him? Do you sometimes say, yes, Lord Jesus, I love to tell thee of all thy love to unworthy me, and so tell what thou hast done for my soul. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Go and tell him all that you love him, desire to serve him. Tell him how you long to thank him, and thank him, and thank him, and praise him, and bless him for all that he has done for you, all that he is to you, for every word that he has spoken, full of wonderful promises, so that there is nothing lacking, nothing forgotten. And look at it, sin pardoned, justification, faultless, before the presence of his glory, strengthened day by day, helped through, never to perish, never to sink, never to be lost at last. Go and tell him, and tell him that sometimes you are afraid of death. Tell him you seek for a real religion. Give me a full assurance that I may say, and many here I believe can, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Went and told Jesus, you have providential needs sometimes. Tell him all about it. He knows all about it. I suppose there are countless instances of poor needy ones going to Jesus in their need, and Jesus hearing and answering their prayer. There was a little half-witted Christian lad up in Scotland ever so many years ago, when telephone wires were first being put on the poles. And a man turned to this little half-wit boy and said, look, this is wonderful. Soon one will be able to speak in a short time to people some distance away. This is wonderful. There's nothing like it. What did the little boy say? He said, that is nothing. I know something far more wonderful than that. The man looked at him amazed. What do you know? The boy said this, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And went and told Jesus. Amen. Let us conclude by singing together hymn 960. Hymn 960, tune of St. Cross 404. By faith in Christ, I walk with God, with heaven my journey's end in view. Supported by his staff and rod, my road is safe and pleasant too. With him sweet converse I maintain. Great as he is, I dare be free. I tell him all my grief and pain, and he reveals his love to me. Hymn 960, tune St. Cross 404.
Yeah.
Almighty God, do we pray thee, help us each to come and tell Jesus help the very little ones to learn in their early years that they can come and tell Jesus what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh dear Lord, we bless thee for it. Oh may we prove thee time and time again to be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So Lord, do we pray thee, help us to commit all unto thee. And now Lord, we ask for thy help, even in this afternoon also, that thou hast come up with us once more into thy house, Lord. Come up with thy servant and give him that word to preach. Lord, come Lord, make well in our midst, we pray, and bless us freely. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, sweet communion and teaching of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.